You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China.
I beat the people from China.
What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, where to begin?
The United States election is less than 2 weeks out, and polling numbers still show a tight race between the Harris and Trump campaigns in key battleground states. I spoke about these polling numbers with Andre Faoso from the Yale Daily News. What are polling numbers looking like on both the national level and in key battleground states?
Recent polls show Kamala Harris with a 2-point national polling lead over Donald Trump. However, in the coming days, there is going to be increased focus on the outcomes in swing states that will determine the outcome of this election. The picture remains unclear, however, with Harris and Trump in a dead heat in all key swing states, meaning that they are currently in the margin of error between both Trump and Harris. Young voters are more uncommitted in the lead up to this election, with polling showing that young voters particularly are still largely, or at least a quarter, are largely uncommitted to whether they will vote for Kamala Harris or Trump in the coming 2 weeks. Well, less than a week until Kamala Harris delivers her final remarks along the National Mall in Washington, D.C., it still remains relatively unclear about who is leading, particularly in those swing states.
Trump is leading with Arab American voters. Why is this the case?
Yeah, so Trump leads Kamala Harris about 45% to 43% amongst this key demographic, with around 2 weeks to go until the election begins, according to polling released on Monday. Arab American voters are seen as potentially critical to Harris's election prospects due to their high concentration in Midwestern states, particularly the state of Michigan, which is one of the 7 swing states expected to decide the outcome of this election. It is also, since it has the largest concentration of Arab Americans in North America, it is particularly important for both Harris and Trump to attract this key voting population. It is understood to be vital in either ensuring Trump or Harris's victory, especially considering that in 2020, Joe Biden won the state of Michigan by more than 150,000 votes, and initially it was a Trump state in 2016, but he led it by a smaller margin of around 11,000 votes. So it'll be increasingly important for this voter population to be enticed by either Trump or Harris. Most of the issues that Arab Americans support Trump on are particularly on foreign diplomacy issues in the Middle East, particularly that of Israel and Palestine, and also their perceived understanding or support of what either Trump or Harris have proposed for solving these crises. Trump has rode along a campaign of peace and also somewhat dramatizing the crisis, saying that if Kamala Harris were president and she were dealing with this crisis, that we could potentially enter World War III.
Conversely, why have high-profile Republicans endorsed Kamala Harris?
Yeah, so numerous high-profile current and former Republican leaders have come out in vocal support of Kamala Harris. Liz Cheney, the daughter of former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney under the George W. Bush presidency, came out in support of Harris. Alongside this, but Dick Cheney did come out in vocal support of Harris too. The Republicans for Harris Coalition has joined Kamala Harris in campaigning in swing states in the South and Midwest to plead the case for why moderate and undecided voters should vote for Harris this upcoming election. Former Trump administration members as well have come out in support of Kamala Harris, including former White House communications director Anthony Scaramucci, who has come out in support of Kamala Harris and said that he will be voting for her in this election. Kamala Harris has relied quite heavily on Republicans for support, particularly amongst moderate voters and undecided voters in the lead up to this election. It has been incredibly important for Kamala Harris to attract both moderate and undecided voters, but then also independent voters who could be swayed in the coming weeks to vote for her and her campaign.
And what does this last stretch of campaigning look like for the candidates?
That's right. So the final days of campaigning are upon us as people across the United States prepare to vote. Early voting has begun in many states, and particularly here on campus, I've seen many students at Yale getting ready with their mail-in ballots to vote for their in their local states, particularly on ballot measures, which will be particularly important and consequential this election. Kamala Harris has been focusing on moderate voters in swing states in the final week of hardcore campaigning. She has also spoken alongside prominent Republican representatives who are supporting her this election. Donald Trump, off of the back of his McDonald's campaign and media stop in Pennsylvania over the weekend, is targeting hardcore Republican partisans and the working population in swing states. He is also trying to mobilize right-leaning and low-propensity voters, such as young men of all races, particularly in southern and swing states. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are fighting in these swing states of particularly Pennsylvania, with Harris being able to erode Trump's lead and bring the race within the margin of error for both candidates. And tonight, Kamala Harris is set to do a town hall event with CNN while Donald Trump is campaigning in the southern swing state of Georgia.
I then spoke to Tom Unger, political activist and former Radioactive host, about the looming threat of political violence this election. Is political extremism a threat this election?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. American politics has always been radical, and I think polarization's part of that. But I'm sure you and most of the listeners will agree it certainly has been getting worse, or to a point of a higher temperature this election.
Why is that political atmosphere so charged?
I think there's multiple different reasons there, and I'll just briefly pop onto some of the polling. So since 94, almost the results based on people disliking the other party have almost doubled. So 27% Democrats and 36% Republicans, they view the other party as a threat to democracy. And touching further on that, 76% of Democrats think that Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden, is doing a good job, whereas only 6% of Republicans think the same. And I'm not sure about yourself or the listeners. I think most people would struggle to know what Jill Biden has done. So I think that's a reflection of the hyper-partisanship present in American politics at the moment, where simply being the president's wife is viewed as a partisan issue, and perhaps a demonstration of that polarization. Touching on the extremism as well, I think it's not just party versus party. Assassination attempts aren't new, but Trump having been shot at in August kind of demonstrates the risk that's present in what is the current environment, which no one, it wasn't a partisan issue, but we can say that a Republican was the person that shot at Trump. So that's kind of demonstrating where the environment is right now. Particular areas of debate, I think, that's driving this polarisation is obviously women's healthcare, general attitudes to democracy following January 6th, and the way that the parties are responding to this that's kind of pushing that hyper-tense environment. I think there's a few things just as to what's building on this. Firstly, the US, as the rest of the world, has been coming out of COVID. Inflation's hit the pockets, especially voters who are low and middle income. And I think that's led to a frustration or distrust in institutions such as the government and the media, as it did in New Zealand last year, that heavily sways how voters perceive and trust, firstly, themselves, each other, and the politicians elected to represent them. And this can be taken advantage of by populist politicians, and you can see that through the language on both sides of that debate. So Trump refers to Harris and the current President Biden as killing the country and says that this election will be the last if he does not win, which is obviously incredibly emotive language, and it kind of plays, if you're feeling inflation, hearing that sort of language probably gives you a bit of hope or a bit of direction to put your blame towards. And he often betrays himself as the single source of truth and a hero. So again, when you do have those feelings of distrust towards the incumbents, that's perhaps, a bit of hope. And he also plays heavily on that religious voter base, encouraging comparisons to Jesus and the Lord, which fuels energy in his camp. And I'm sure the listeners would have seen similar photoshopped images online where Trump directly appreciates that comparison.
You've alluded to this a little bit, but how have both of these campaigns responded to this threat of political violence?
There's been, I think, ultimately, that polarisation plays into both camps. So Kamala Harris, she often refers or talks about a future Trump presidency as a dictatorship or an attempt at authoritarianism, which, I'll leave up to listeners to decide whether that's true or not. But it does really, again, when we're talking about Democrats viewing the other side as the end or Republicans vice versa, it really fuels that almost. But we have seen people such as Joe Biden saying we need to lower the temperature. You won't see as extremist language from that campaign towards the idea of a Trump presidency. But the Trump campaign, as mentioned, says that this will be the end of America.
And how does the threat of violence this election compare to past elections?
I think there's always been this sort of underbelly in American politics. I think we can look back at 2020 when everyone was locked in their homes, and often that energy was misutilized to, there wasn't really any way to channel that energy into positive means. And we saw riots. We saw, obviously, the George Floyd Black Lives Matter protests and the extremist response to that from the incumbent Trump presidency. So obviously, it's always been a thing. But I think currently, because of the role of social media and X, formerly Twitter, that's just really escalated. And if you'd like, I can go into what I think the issue with that is currently.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think X and what it has become has been pretty huge on the political dialogue. Obviously, when I was first, involved in politics, as most of those in the current state, Twitter was the platform of the left. But I think the purchase in 22 from Elon Musk, who is the world's richest man, he's made it a political tool to really utilise what was already existing echo chambers, but as a tool of the right. He's enabled more extremist content on X, and he's used that algorithm to really solidify an audience that already thinks this, but now doubles down on it because they're hearing it from the world's richest man. He's essentially become the world's biggest influencer, and I think he realises that people are angry, and he really plays on that, and through these echo chambers and the algorithm, just further isolates them. He's tweeted things such as Kamala Harris will destroy the country, and as we've seen in the past few days, he's literally using that platform and the celebrity that he's gained to purchase votes in Pennsylvania, which is one of the biggest swing states in this election. Again, I think, as touched on previously, voters are disposed. I think they are angry, and that he's really using what is a vacuum to fill it with his own political view. And in the future, when we look back on this election, I think the role of Elon Musk and X will be a major component of where it went right or it went wrong.
That was Andre Faoso from the Yale Daily News about polling numbers less than 2 weeks out from the election, and former Radioactive host Tom Unger about the threat of political extremism this election.
Excuse me, I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.